This is The Baseline, discussing the hot button topics of the NBA.
Welcome, everybody. You are tuned to The Baseline. Cal Lee, Warren Shaw, discussing the hot button topics of the NBA. And in the immortal words of Seth MacFarlane, it went all bad so quickly. How did we get to this point where we're talking about an NBA Finals where, yes, the Golden State Warriors could be, should be, and is better two games already than the Cleveland Cavaliers? But it's not the wins in the series as much as it is the margin of victory, because both games have basically reflected something that we're going to wind up talking about more so than our concerns regarding the Golden State Warriors. And it's a glaring reflection of something that might actually rear its ugly head if it doesn't get fixed by game three. But in order to break all of that down, you know I got to do it with my right-hand man, 50 Grand NBA aficionado, Don Mad, contributor, writer for one of the illest websites, www.shawsports.net, Big Kahuna at PNC, my brother from another mother, Mr. Warren Shaw, repping out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Holla back at me, Mr. Shaw, man. So what did you do at halftime when you looked up at the score and you noticed that the game was close? And then what did you do at the end of the game when you realized that clearly that wasn't the same Cavaliers team that came out of the locker room?
Well, salute to all the fans, listeners of NBA Baseline, and let me keep it 100. Listen, I'm pissed off right now that the Cavaliers made me miss Game of Thrones for that foolishness that we had to witness tonight. Losing by 33 points and now have lost two games by a total of 48 points. I'm upset. So now I have to reevaluate.
You're pulling out your Stephen A. right now, because Stephen A. was channeling. Boy, I mean.
Yeah, I know he said that he was alluding to on Twitter that he was definitely going to go on an epic rant, but I'm just saying, man, they made me miss Game of Thrones for that. I will never forgive the Cleveland Cavaliers for this debacle in Game 2, man.
It's just absolutely amazing. And, you know, this is our coverage of the NBA Finals, our post-game discussion. And, you know, we appreciate you and yours for tuning in. We always encourage you to listen to the Baseline NBA podcast, weekly podcast discussing the hot button topics of the NBA. Get at my man Shaw at Shaw Sports NBA, or get at me at Game Face Lee, the show's Twitter handle at NBA Baseline. Shaw, you know, when we look at this game, we said to ourselves, you know, it's not as if the Cleveland Cavaliers don't have it within them to compete with the Golden State Warriors. It's just a question of, can they execute consistently for 48 minutes? And even when we came to this point at halftime, we kept saying, look, Golden State's still not playing well. Cleveland is giving themselves a chance, but they've got to execute. And for them to come out and perform the way that they performed in the second half of this game, it really makes me question if this Cavaliers team is truly understanding the magnitude of this situation. I mean, so much so that I even think LeBron James might be regretting. And maybe it's something he saw from game one that kind of reared its ugly head on the way that his demeanor is reflective of how he performed and what kind of has kind of channeled through the rest of that team in the second half of game two, bro.
Well, this again, it's at this point now, I think we're at the crossroads where we need to stop disrespecting the Golden State Warriors. A lot of fingers are being pointed at the Cavaliers and inability to play, and even some Twitter conversations. You know, I'm going to jump around here a little bit and talk about, well, LeBron left Miami to come to this and such and such and such. And
no, I don't want to hear that. I really don't want to hear that.
And I don't either. And, yeah. I have some, you know, some trolling Heat fans really feel like this is a situation for them that they can kind of capitalize on. But LeBron and the Heat got smashed by San Antonio the year he left. And now Wade is a year older. Bosch has health concerns. Whiteside doesn't know if he's going to come back. So what's so attractive about this Miami situation? But my point in saying this all right now is that Golden State is phenomenal.
Right, exactly.
That's where the credit needs to be given.
Hold on, let me jump in on that a little bit real quick, because it's not like I hate Miami Heat fans, but I hate when Miami Heat fans do this kind of nonsense. Let me put it like this. Be grateful LeBron left, went somewhere else, Because if he did stay in Miami, you guys would be getting a dose of what the Golden State Warriors have been dishing out over the last 2 years. And I think if, and look, Cleveland Cavaliers fans have been enduring this for some 50 plus years in their franchise. The Miami Heat have had the luxury of having great players on their team to give them championships. They don't want any part of a team like the Golden State Warriors making that organization look foolish. Just sit back and watch how it's being done, because that's where the Miami Heat need to cater themselves to, and it's going to take a while for that to happen. If you have the luxury of having LeBron James, it might seem like easy pickings, but it doesn't mean that they were going to be guaranteed to be going to an NBA Finals and win any kind of championship when you're playing up against a team like how the Golden State Warriors have been playing for the last 2 years, and that's what we've been saying.
No, and that's what it boils down to. Like I said, I'm just right now, that has gotten me on my Stephen A. rant, if you will, right now. Just them thinking that, okay, well, that they would have much better luck. Golden State really needs to get all the credit. But to even getting back to this series and to the earlier conversation, listen, some of the things that we wanted to see from the Cleveland Cavaliers have not happened yet still. There's still a lot of isolation in basketball. Golden State's defense is able to sit down on them, and they're not getting the ball movement
but
that they want.
But why is that happening, Shaw?
That's a Tyronn Lue thing.
See, and here is where I begin to wonder myself. In we're sitting here saying, oh, you know, this was a good look because of the success Tyronn Lue fed off of, because this Cleveland Cavaliers team had to have accountability for themselves to be a successful basketball team, given the move that David Griffin did in removing David Blatt. But now I begin to wonder, and I'm sure people in who've been looking at this have been getting to wonder as well, too. Man, David Blatt learning from what happened last year losing to the Golden State Warriors, do you think he would have made adjustments when necessary, when it counted, the timely manner that it had to be done? Because I'm just wondering, when you're Tyronn Lue, you're watching how your team is executing plays and going up and down the court, when you're hearing analysts from ESPN and from other media outlets who are there, right there by the bench saying, yeah, Tyronn Lue saying it, talking, but it doesn't seem like the words are channeling through most of these players' ears, making me wonder, like, does he really have the pulse of those fellas right now when it matters the most?
Yeah, and I don't think he does. So, I mean, you would have hoped between game one and game two, having 2 days off, that a lot of adjustments could have been made, that you would have found some solutions or some things that you could have tried in this game. But to start it out, it at least seemed like the same old offense. And they had varying degrees of success at different points throughout the game, but were never really, really that close. Then you see that, I think it was in the beginning of the fourth quarter when all was already lost anyway, then they broke the Mozgov card out there and tried to play that. And I think that's something that you might see going forward in terms of them trying to play big throughout the rest of this series, because they were getting killed on the glass with their small lineups. Love and Fry and those guys weren't really able to keep Draymond and people like that off the glass when it counted early on. And then, you know, Draymond got hot and started hitting threes as well, too. So the Cleveland Cavaliers are just in a very, very precarious situation right now. And I think Lue now having 3 days in between games, or another 2 days, I should say, in between games, and going back on the home floor, maybe they figure out some things. Maybe they get back into it a little bit, but it still looks very, very doubtful.
You're tuned to The Baseline. Cal Lee, Warren Shaw discussing the hot button topics of the NBA, our NBA Finals post-game discussion. The Cleveland Cavaliers get trounced by the Golden State Warriors at the Oracle. Game two of the NBA Finals, 110-77. Basically, the 48-point differential is the most in the first two games of an NBA Finals in NBA history. This is done by the Golden State Warriors. And look, let's make this perfectly clear, because a lot of people were basically jumping up and down talking about, oh, you know, the Cleveland Cavaliers did a great job shutting down Steph Curry, shutting down Klay Thompson, but then they allowed Sean Livingston, they allowed Leandro Barbosa, you know, these guys to get off. They're not going to get off again. That was an admiration. Is it really an admiration? Because all we're saying and all we have been saying is that the reason why this Golden State Warriors team is where they are is because you cannot commit a sin when you are not capable to win. And at this point, the strength in numbers has emphatically, almost like Stephen A. just said a few moments ago, almost basically snatched the hearts out of the Cleveland Cavaliers' chest right now. When the Golden State Warriors bench players can make you question 3/4 of your starting unit, when Tyronn Lue has to basically pull out James Jones to go out and pull a punk move, knocking Steph Curry on the basketball court just so that he can feel you know, the presence of the Cavaliers in cheap minutes, that tells me that they're really becoming desperate. And I know people aren't looking towards that, but you have to look at it within its context. Tyronn Lue really, I really think that he believes, like, yo, to lose the way that we lost is an emphatic statement that even if we win game three, even if we win game four, that I cannot guarantee that this team is going to play with the same confidence throughout a duration of a seven-game series, which basically the Warriors are saying, we're not even going to wait seven games for you guys. We're trying to kill you in four. And that to me just says so much. It's such a resounding statement for a basketball team that wanted the Warriors in this finals. They wanted this rematch. They wanted this situation. And even for LeBron James, I'm even going to put a little bit on him. He wanted this. He questioned the current MVP. He questioned his heart. He questioned whether or not he's deserving to be in this situation. And Steph Curry has barely played all but like he hasn't even cracked 40 minutes, 35 minutes so far in the first two games of this series. And yet the Golden State Warriors are still two wins away from basically making us again question the LeBron James and his impact on teams that should be in a position to win an NBA title.
Yeah, at this point, again, it really does come down to how good Golden State is and whether or not the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to make this any semblance of a series. Again, I keep going back to that old adage, you know, role players play great at home, et cetera, not so great on the road. And now we have to see if the Cavaliers can, in turn, game three, get their bench players and some of their role players to really contribute. Lou went to Richard Jefferson tonight, especially when Love went out of the game with a concussion. Obviously, you hope Kevin Love is able to return and can compete in this series. But this is an old adage, if you say, be careful what you wish for. And now you're healthy. If you're the Cleveland Cavaliers and you've gotten the Golden State Warriors, who arguably may not even be that healthy, you know, obviously with the Stephen Curry thing still with his knee. Again, we're not going to make excuses for Steph right now at this point because they don't even need him. You know, you said 25 minutes tonight, 18, 9, and 8 or whatever it is. 18, 9, and 4. And then two games just hasn't even been needed as the MVP. And that's my last question now is, if the Golden State Warriors win this thing, which we obviously think they do, who would be the finals MVP for them? Because they've gotten production from all over the place.
Well, there's a couple of things I wanted to bring up regarding that point, Shaw, because I'm glad you did that. And let me say this. Steph Curry, I don't think gets enough credit for the sacrifices that he makes because we get too enamored with his shots. We get enamored with the passing. 18 points. 9 rebounds. This from a guy who everyone says is scared to take the contact. This from a guy who everyone says he doesn't really guard the top players, you know, in the top point guards in the league. This from a guy who basically is underneath post guarding up against Tristan Thompson on switches when need be, on LeBron James on switches when need be. And look, if these guys turn around and make shots, I'm completely, look, it happens, right? That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to take advantage of. If you're Tyronn Lue, you should be asking for these switches to happen so that you should be abusing. I mean, we saw that, and I don't understand why Tyronn Lue did not force Kyrie Irving, did not force Kevin Love, did not force anyone to put Steph Curry back into foul trouble once he had those three fouls. I mean, you would think that the idea here is once you have some of the quality players in foul trouble, you keep pushing them until you see them off the bench. But maybe Tyronn Lue was just like, maybe we are better off having Steph Curry on the floor because we can't do anything when the rest of the bench comes out there. So to me, I applaud Steph Curry because this is exactly the reason why I don't think people give credit for why Steph Curry to me is one of the most valuable players in the game. I go back to the conversation that we had a while back, Shaw. Remember when the Golden State Warriors played against the Oklahoma City Thunder in OKC, and Steph Curry, after getting his ankle almost mangled by accident by Russell Westbrook, comes back. He leads his basketball team to that overtime when OKC should have shut the Warriors down and walked away with that victory. And the first thing that he does in the overtime is he gets the proverbial golden child, Kevin Durant, to foul out, right? On a drive to the basket, which at that point basically took the hearts out of OKC's chest. And then Steph Curry went on to help that Warriors team walk away with a victory out of the arena, out of Chesapeake. To me, the things that Steph Curry does are the things that you cannot put on a stat sheet. It's just the immeasurable little things. It's the things that we talk about mostly with Draymond Green before Draymond Green started making these statistics. These are the things that we're seeing from Steph Curry, and he's only doing it in 25 minutes of play.
No, I love that. I love that point because I think that's the testament of any great player. You don't always have to do it with your shot. You don't always have to do it with any particular one thing. But if one thing is not going for you, whatever your calling card is, if you transfer into another phase of the game and then continue to push and sometimes will your team to victory, that's what makes you an MVP. Not just, scoring 30 points a game and getting X amount of assists, X amount of rebounds or whatever it is. In Curry's case, hitting 400 threes and all of that. It's knowing what your team needs from you, even when you're not able to score on a regular basis or do the thing that you normally do on a regular basis as well. I think that's a true testament of an MVP. And that's what, and even going on to the Cleveland Cavaliers side, I mean, that's what's made LeBron so great over the years. Had a chance to appear on another show, the three-point podcast, Three in the Key podcast. And it was very interesting because, they asked, well, what can the Cavs have survive in any way, shape, or form if LeBron plays a bad game? And I was like, well, LeBron is the type of player that if he does play a bad game, that bad game is usually coming from the offensive side and him not being efficient. But he's still going to rebound. He's still going to play defense. He's still going to try to get others involved. And I think that's the unmeasured and unmarked part of Stephen Curry's game, too, when he's doing more than just scoring the basketball.
You're tuned to the Baseline, Cali, Warren Shaw, discussing the hot-button topics of the NBA, our post-game discussion of the NBA Finals Game 2. Warriors win 110-77. All right, Shaw, so let's go ahead and try to shift this forward real quick. What is it going to take now? Look, I look at it like this. When I look at the total numbers from the starting five for the Cleveland Cavaliers, 7 field goal attempts by Kevin Love. This is prior to the concussion situation, which is something that we're definitely going to have to look at, because there's that possibility that Kevin Love might not be cleared to play Wednesday if it is in fact, well, if they have completely confirmed that, he has suffered the concussion and when they set up the scheduling for him to go in and do another concussion test for him to pass. So there's that possibility that the Cavaliers might not have Kevin Love for game 3, which would be critical more ways than one to lose him at this particular juncture. But LeBron James, 17 field goal attempts. Tristan Thompson, 8 field goal attempts. Kyrie Irving, 14 field goal attempts. J.R. Smith, well, he finally shot 6 field goal attempts, which is probably what, 3 more than what he did in yep. game 1, right? Shaw, this is just not enough field goal attempts if you're expecting to run with the Golden State Warriors. And every time I was listening to ESPN and they were giving their coverage just saying, well, the Cavaliers are playing with pace. They're playing their kind of pace. You can't tell me that they're playing with this kind of pace if this is the only amount of shots that you're throwing up with an expectation to beat the Warriors. That means that you are counting that you're going to defend against the Golden State Warriors, which they have proven they cannot do in the first 2 games.
Yeah, they're just not doing anything right offensively, and that really is their fault. They're still turning the ball over a ton, has 17 turnovers tonight. And then, they're not even getting back on defense a lot of times, too, and stopping Golden State from on their break. Then the other issue, too, is that the rebounding was a problem for Cleveland. So they were getting Golden State get 2 and 3 attempts and not allowing them to set up their offense or for them to get out in transition and conversely to get some more field goal attempts for the Cavaliers. So everything is wrong. They pretty much have to scrap everything they're doing, I think, from the offensive side of things right now and really reevaluate themselves over the next couple days and see if they can get some sort of effort here in game 3. Question is now if Kevin Love does miss time. We're talking about them trying to potentially go big now. I don't know if Richard Jefferson is going to be the starting 3 and move LeBron to the 4, or if they try to, do Thompson and Mozgov in a 4 or 5 lineup that we saw a little bit in the fourth quarter. But Lou has to do something with this team and with this rotation. They cannot get embarrassed and swept on their home floor and lose a championship in that manner. That's just not something that I think the Cavaliers fan base is going to stand for.
Shaw, does it surprise you that this is now 2 games now? And everyone keeps talking about Channing Frye being the big acquisition, that guy that LeBron James, I mean, he's enamored with him. And, he's supposed to space and shoot the 3. He only played 4 minutes tonight, man. 4 minutes. Iman Shumpert, 20 minutes. Richard Jefferson, why is Richard Jefferson getting so many minutes? I mean, is it really that bad that Tyronn Lue has to have Richard Jefferson out there to kind of measure that sort of small ball lineup because he believes that Jefferson as the second unit is the best defender, kind of like their Andre Iguodala? Has it really come to that point? Because I don't understand why Channing Frye is not getting any minutes in the finals right now.
Michael Fry is, again, it's his lack of ability to play defense and even really be effective on the glass at times. So I think Lou is just not trying to try
but
to
the
go
Cavaliers
with
can't down. Play defense, period. So what does
well,
it matter at this point?
But right? The funny thing for me is that Fry's one shot in the game came from the post, which is just not his game to begin with anyway.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah,
that,
it just doesn't make any sense how they're utilizing
Sean, that in
rotation.
Itself was a minus three in the plus minus category. Like that Channing Frye shooting a post up shot to me, that should be like a minus three
but
plus
it
anytime.
Like a, it was like a 3 or 4 possession sequence where I think two of those possessions saw Frye in the post and Dellavedova in the post trying to create offense. And again, we've already established that isolation post basketball is not going to work against this Golden State Warriors team, especially with the personnel that the Cavaliers are throwing out there. So Lou's got to find a way to get, like I said, better ball movement, get his guys involved. If Fry's going to be the answer, well, then obviously he needs to be out on the arc or at least be involved in pick and pop. And then you have to maybe sacrifice some of the defense. I think you're going to see some different things with them. You know, I'm at the point, like, they may start throwing some high school zones at them, like a triangle in two, you know, trying
game
to figure
zones.
Out a way.
They made you miss Game of Thrones, different. So now they got to play a game of zones.
For real, man, because they have no answers to what's going on here. And I think, you know, when we get to Wednesday night and you see this same thing happening again, it really is going to spell a lot of questions for the Cavaliers going into the summer.
All right, look, we spent the majority of the time criticizing and antagonizing this, you know, abysmal effort by the Cleveland Cavaliers. If you look at the Golden State Warriors, Shaw, listen, 110 points scored again. The defensive effort was just so damn good that really, you look at it, 20 turnovers, you know that that's not going to cut it. I guess against other basketball teams that are willing to play a full 48 minutes, this Golden State Warriors team couldn't get by with that. If you're looking at this Warriors team going into a hostile environment because of Cleveland, this is a time that Cleveland Cavaliers need to depend on their fan base to help them through winning a game. This is going to be that game three. Forget about whether or not they're going to win the finals. That's not where we're getting to. To me, the effort and the overall play for the Cleveland Cavaliers, it's tantamount that they come out with some kind of effort, something that basically kind of gives us reason to question if the Golden State Warriors are just going to let the Cavaliers hang around throughout this series, or the Golden State Warriors are just that damn good of a basketball team to get it done. The one fallacy I see is the fact that the Golden State Warriors are still very careless with the basketball, especially Steph Curry, even though their defense has allowed them to get away with it the first two games.
Right, and that's what it's boiled down to. If the defense hadn't been as locked down as it has, then those turnovers really would be a superior problem for them. But Cleveland is not scoring. They're not, you know, getting a lot of points off those turnovers. They're not running effective offense in general, and it's allowing Golden State to run away with these two games. But it will be interesting to see that if they're careless with the basketball and going into game three, as you mentioned, in a hostile environment, does that give those same thing, those role players who have been so atrocious thus far, does that give them the energy to be successful and for the Cavaliers to try to really make a run at this thing and put some pressure on Golden State? That very much remains to be seen, because at the end of the day, when you talk about these Warriors turnovers, and even in the two games that they've played, they still haven't played a really good game. You haven't had that Curry and Clay explosion at all in this series thus far. And then you just kind of know those things are coming. So if I'm the Cavaliers, I'm very worried and very discouraged, but you have to dust yourself off and figure out a way to get it done.
Cleveland Cavaliers, 5-for-23 from three-point land. This is the second best three-point shooting basketball team and virtually one of the most dominant three-point shooting basketball teams in the playoffs. Definitely not displaying it in this NBA Finals. 21%. That is definitely not going to get it done if you're going to depend on shooting that three ball. The Golden State Warriors shooting 45%, 33 three-point shots heaved up, and a very nice night by Steph and Clay as they went 8-for-16, a very sultry 50%. The Golden State Warriors once again dominant, 110-77 over the Cleveland Cavaliers. Shaw, another great line of conversation, great line of talk that we're going to obviously be throwing out there with the tweets. And, you know, listen, man, especially with our upcoming episode of the Baseline NBA podcast, if people really didn't give a damn about what happened here in game two, at least they could look forward to some really quality stuff that we have coming in our next show.
Yeah, man, we're keeping it live and keeping it thorough as always. And, you know, the NBA Finals haven't been the matchup that we've wanted them to be, you know, from a watchability standpoint. But we're definitely keeping everybody engaged with some of our other conversations surrounding the NBA. So make sure you tune in. Make sure you give us a rating on iTunes, Stitcher, or whatever your social media outlet is to catch our show. And again, as always, man, it's always a pleasure.
Most definitely. Be sure to catch the NBA the Baseline NBA podcast. Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Player FM, Microsoft TuneIn. We're also available on Google Music. My man Shaw is rolling up with the Roku channel, so go to Shaw Sports and you can catch all the episodes of the Baseline NBA podcast, especially this conversation that we have. Our upcoming show is going to be a doozy. We have some great topics, and my man Shaw had an opportunity to sit down with upcoming NBA prospect Malachi Richardson from the Syracuse Orange Men. I'm sure tonight the Cleveland Cavaliers could have used Malachi Richardson, as their offensive output was just clearly irreprehensible and led to this thorough thrashing by 33 points with the Golden State Warriors. For the Baseline, Cal Lee, Warren Shaw, we appreciate you guys. Thanks for listening in, and we'll catch up with you next time.